change incentives, change behavior?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In the latest effort to rein in compensation on Wall Street, the Federal Reserve is flexing its muscle. The Fed reportedly wants to weigh in on pay policies at thousands of financial firms. Our New York Bureau Chief Amy Scott has the story.
The Federal Reserve oversees more than 5,000 bank holding companies. The Wall Street Journal reports the Fed wants to use that power to limit compensation at those institutions. Government officials wouldn't set individual pay, but the report says they would be able to reject compensation policies that reward excessive risk-taking. Paul Hodgson studies executive compensation at the Corporate Library. He says loan officers, for example, should be paid based on the quality of the loans they sell, not the quantity.
You have to structure the incentive so that the bonus only gets paid out if the loan turns out to be a good loan and it's being repaid promptly and over time as well, not just, you know, for the first quarter.
The Journal reports the Fed may push banks to use so-called clawbacks to recover money from employees if risky bets don't pay off. The report says the Fed's proposal would have to be adopted by its board but would not require congressional approval. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
American clients of Swiss bank UBS got their formal warning today. Their undeclared income may be revealed to the IRS. The bank has agreed to hand over 4,000 account names to Uncle Sam. Today, UBS notified clients they have 20 days to appoint a lawyer in Switzerland or be assigned one by the Swiss authorities. Wall Street's calm. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ are flat, and the Dow is up 24 points at 9,808. European markets were flat today, and Asian stocks lost about 1%. The Charlotte Observer reports the federal government's conducting a criminal probe into Bank of America's purchase of Merrill Lynch. The SEC and some states are already investigating whether B of A kept shareholders in the dark about Merrill's losses and bonus payments. A federal criminal probe would be yet a new wrinkle. Food prices have been falling lately, and while that can hurt producers, it does make the grocery store a more pleasant place. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith walked the aisles.
It seems like everything is on sale at my local grocery store.
Milk is on special for $3.49. Cranberry juice on special $2 for $6.
Welcome to Recession Supermarket Price Wars. On the West Coast, Vons has put nearly one in every five items on sale. Out East, Giant Foods has doubled the number of sale items. Chains across the country are all cutting prices. But weren't these same stores jacking up prices last year? Harry Balzer studies food marketing at NPD Group. He says gas prices being lower than last year are part of it. The other part? Cash-strapped Americans refuse to spend more on food.
Consumers said, look, I'm going to moderate my food cost. Are you going to be with me or not? And you could certainly see some of the discount supermarkets who are doing very well, and the other supermarkets had to follow suit.
Balzer says a few years ago, supermarkets were wooing shoppers with sushi bars and fancy wine selections. But these days, cost is king.
Wine is $5.99 a bottle, but if you buy six or more, it's only $5.39. So we need to load up on wine.
In Los Angeles and heading to the Alka-Seltzer aisle, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
All week, as part of our series, The Cure, we've been hearing from different groups about what's at stake for them in the healthcare debate. Small businesses typically pay more in premiums than big companies, and if one small business worker is sick or old, that can raise insurance costs for the whole company. Here's the story of one small business owner in Columbia, Maryland, who's struggling to provide benefits without breaking the bank.
My name is Brian England. I've been in business for 31 years. The name of the company is British American AutoCare, and we have 18 employees. I've always felt it's the right thing to do to provide health insurance. I mean, the healthier workers, they're the people who provide you the income. Last year, what I did was start one of these, what they call health savings accounts. What that meant was suddenly people had a $1,500 deductible for the HMO and a $4,000 deductible on the PPO. The insurance agent called me up and said, Brian, but you're lucky. And I said, well, why am I lucky? And he says, well, if Jeanette hadn't left, and she was 60 years old, your rates would have gone up additional 20%. And it suddenly the sort of penny dropped here, and I thought, my goodness, that is a very sad commentary, because when we go out there looking for insurance and we're judged on the average age, I have that in the back of my mind, and so I'm more likely to employ a younger person. We should not be put in that position. And I think dismantling the whole system is a good idea, I suppose, and I'd love to be out of this whole insurance thing. But I think trying to take away the employer side of it, I think it'd be too disruptive. I think, you know, we've got to try and make it better. First of all, everybody's got to provide healthcare. There should be a personal responsibility for people, say, that are self-employed. You can't have a situation where my business contributes and the business down the road doesn't. Get everybody insured, get in preventive care for everybody and seeing how that works out. Because we don't know how it's going to work out. I do know one thing, though. If we don't do anything, it's going to be a disaster.
Brian England owns British American Auto Care in Columbia, Maryland, part of our series The Cure on the Healthcare Debate in America. The segment was produced by Mitchell Hartman. And finally, tickets go on sale today for Stash Bash, the annual festival devoted to the mustache. Musical guest this year is John Oates of Hall & Oates. He was known for rocking a tremendous lip sweater in the 80s. He's currently starring in the online animated series J-Stash, which is all about his reunion with his facial hair.
You need me, John Oates.
Yeah, and you need me, J-Stash.
Compelling. Stash Bash 09 happens in St. Louis next month. Organizers say if you don't have a mustache, they will give you one at the door. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 29 points. You make my dreams come true. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.